Chapter 16. The commander was moving out on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve was set down for a double celebration. Welcome 1879, and Godspeed the Ladybird Mounted Rifles. The whole district was coming into town for the Bravelys and dancing that was being held in the square. Feast the warriors, laugh, dance, and sing. Then form them up and march them out to war. Sean and Gary rode in early. Ada and Waite were to follow later in the afternoon. It was one of those bright days of a Natal summer. No wind and no clouds. The kind of day when the dust from a wagon hangs heavy in the air. They crossed the Baboon Stream and the further ridge, looking down across the town, and saw the wagon dust on every road leading into Ladybird. "Look at them come," said Sean. He screwed up his eyes against the glare and stared at the north road. "That'll be the Erasmus wagon. Carl would be with them." The wagons looked like beads on a string. "That's the Petersons," said Gary. "Or the Newhousens." "Come on!" shouted Sean, and slapped the free end of his reins across his horse's neck. They galloped down the road. The horses they rode were big, glossy animals, with their manes cropped like English hunters. They passed a wagon. There were two girls sitting beside Mama on the box seat, the Peterson sisters. Dennis Peterson and his father were riding ahead of the wagon. Sean whooped as he raced past the wagon, and the girls laughed and shouted something that was lost in the wind. "Come on, Dennis!" howled Sean as he swept past the two sedately trotting outriders. Dennis's horse reared and then settled in to run, chasing Sean. Gary trailed them both. They reached the crossroads, lying flat along their horses' necks, pumping the reins like jockeys. The Erasmus wagon was trundling down to meet them. "Carl!" Sean called as he held his horse a little to stand in the stirrups. "Carl! Come on, man! Catch away-o! Set away-o!" They rode into Ladybird in a bunch. They were all flush-faced and laughing, excited and happy at the prospect of dancing and killing. The town was crowded, its streets congested with wagons and horses and men and women and girls and dogs and servants. "I've got to stop at Pye's store," said Carl. "Come with me. It won't take long." They hitched their horses and went into the store. Sean, Dennis and Carl walked noisily and talked loud. They were men, big sunburnt, raw-boned men, muscled from hard work, but uncertain of the fact that they were men. Therefore walk with a swagger and laugh too loud, swear when Pa isn't listening, and no one will know you have your doubts. "What you going to buy, Carl?" "Boots." "That'll take all day. You'll have to try them on. We'll miss half the fun." "There'll be nothing doing for another couple of hours," protested Carl. "Wait for me, you chaps." Carl, sitting on the counter, trying boots on his large feet, was not a spectacle that could hold Sean's interest for long. He drifted away amongst the piles of merchandise that cluttered Pye's store. There were stacks of pick-handles, piles of blankets, bins of sugar and salt and flour, shelves of groceries and clothing, overcoats and women's dresses, and hurricane lamps, and saddles hanging from the roof. And all of it was permeated by the peculiar smell of a general dealer's store, a mixture of paraffin, soap, and new cloth. Pigeon to its coop, iron to magnet, Sean's feet led him to the stack of rifles against the far wall of the room. He lifted down one of the Lee Metford carbines and worked the action. He stroked the wood with his fingertips, then weighed it in his hands to feel the balance, and finally brought it up to his shoulder. "Hello, Sean." his ritual interrupted, Sean looked up at the shy voice. "It's strawberry pie," he said, smiling. "How's school?" "I left school now. I left last term." Audrey Pye had the family colouring, but with a subtle difference. Instead of carrot, her hair was smoked copper with glints in it. She was not a pretty girl, her face was too broad and flat, but she had that rare skin that too seldom goes with red hair, creamy, unfreckled purity. "Do you want to buy anything, Sean?" Sean placed the carbine back in the rack. "Just looking," he said. "Are you working in the store now?" "Yes." She dropped her eyes from Sean's scrutiny. It was a year since he'd last seen her. A lot can change in a year. She now had that within her blouse which proved she was no longer a child. Sean eyed it appreciatively, and she glanced up and saw the direction of his eyes. The cream of her skin clouded red. She turned quickly towards the trays of fruit. "Would you like a peach?" "Thanks," said Sean, and took one.
"How's Anna?"
asked Audrey.
"Why ask me?"
Sean frowned. "You're her beau, aren't you?"
"Who told you that?"
Sean's frown became a scowl.
"Everybody knows that."
"Well, everybody's wrong."
Sean was irritated by the suggestion that he was one of Anna's possessions.
"I'm nobody's beau."
"Oh?"
Audrey was silent a moment. Then,
"I suppose Anna will be at the dance tonight."
"Most probably."
Sean bit into the furry golden peach and studied Audrey. "Are you going, strawberry pie?"
"No," Audrey answered wistfully. "Pa won't let me." How old was she?
Sean made a quick calculation. 3 years younger than he was. That made her 16. Suddenly, Sean was sorry she wouldn't be at the dance.
"That's a pity," he said. "We could have had some fun."
Linking them together with the plural we, Sean threw her into confusion again. She said the first word she could think of.
"Do you like the peach?"
"Mmm."
"It's from our orchard."
"I thought I recognized the flavor."
Sean grinned, and Audrey laughed. Her mouth was wide and friendly when she laughed.
"I knew you used to pinch them. Pa knew it was you. He used to say he'd set a man-trap in that hole in the hedge."
"I didn't know he'd found that hole. We used to cover it up each time."
"Oh, yes," Audrey assured him. "We knew about it all the time. It's still there. Some nights, when I can't sleep, I climb out of my bedroom window and go down through the orchard, through the hedge, into the wattle plantation. It's so dark and quiet in the plantation at night. Scary, but I like it."
"You know something?" Sean spoke thoughtfully. "If you couldn't sleep tonight and came down to the hedge at 10 o'clock, you might catch me pinching peaches again."
It took a few seconds for Audrey to realize what he had said. Then the color flew up to her face again, and she tried to speak, but no words came. She turned with a swirl of skirt and darted away among the shelves. Sean bit the last of the flesh off the peach pip and dropped it to the floor. He was smiling as he walked across to join the others.
"Hell's teeth, Carl, how much longer are you going to be?"